हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम हरे राम राम राम
Yes. Oh, you want to test something? So, thank you very much, Santosh Prabhu and family, for having us over. And thank you all for coming also. Very nice to see everybody again. We'll chant the holy names of the Lord for a while. And maybe in between, we can have some nice reflections on a very wonderful personality, devotee from Bhagavatam. I was actually reading the life of Sudama this morning, and he's one of the great personalities from Bhagavatam. So much to learn from him. So maybe we can reflect on his pastimes with the Lord also. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
जय श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
जय श्री श्री राधा मदनमोहन जी की, जय श्री राधा गोविंद जी की, जय श्री राधा गोपीनाथ जी की, जय श्री हरिनाम संगीत महोदय अनंत गुरु वैष्णव की बधाई को रखें। I'm going to speak for a while, so maybe the echo can go down. Thank you. I feel like we're in a recording studio. No, I've been feeling a little bit. It's very nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much. As we keep singing kirtans for so many years, most of the devotees would go deaf. You ask many devotees who have been involved in kirtan. That's because, you know, when we are in ecstasy, all the volumes of the instruments go up. Our volumes are there, but the instruments go up. And when you have, today's karatas are sweet, but when you have 6-7 pairs of karatas, and when we're all dancing and jumping up and down in ecstasy, and we have those larger karatas, which are called wampas in the West, and if you hit them, you know, they vibrate right through this year and come out through that year. So sometimes it becomes difficult to hear, which is why after kirtan, I always ask everyone whether you could hear me, because I can't hear myself. I really have hearing loss now. It's actually official. It's there. But it doesn't matter. What's very important is for us to hear with the heart. That is very important. I was in Vrindavan many years ago, and if you've been to Vrindavan, you know the monkeys are always there. And for those who wear glasses and who can't wear contacts, because I have astigmatism and everything else, so I can't wear contact lenses, so which means I have to wear glasses. And everywhere I went, I had to keep them. And I can't see very well because it's very high. My mother was walking around very confidently, saying that, no, I'm faster than the monkeys. But before she knew it and she was wearing glasses, the monkey had actually landed on her shoulder really softly, about this big. And before she knew it, he had actually hooked his hand expertly here. And the next moment when I turned to look at her, she was looking around and wondering, wait a minute, why is the world looking different? Because the glasses had gone. So from that day onwards, I made sure the glasses were in the pocket. So I went into this famous area where we all do shopping for the deities, Loy Bazaar. And then I thought I can enter the shop to see the deity dressings, you know. So I entered the shop and finally I asked the shopkeeper, can I put on my glasses? He said, the monkeys don't come in here, it's okay. So then I put on the glasses and then I remarked to the devotees with me that I feel that I've lost so much because I'm walking around Vrindavan, but I cannot see anything. And the shopwala said something so important. He said, don't see Vrindavan with your eyes. See Vrindavan with your heart. Then you are really seeing the real Vrindavan. So all these beautiful chanting of the holy names are meant actually to awaken devotional service in our hearts. These gatherings are never meant to be rituals. We should never leave these gatherings, sastras tell us, feeling that, okay, this is a pious activity. You know, we've chopped up a few more points on our karma cards. But devotional service goes beyond karma. There's good activities in the world, there are bad activities in the world. And naturally, you don't need a rocket scientist to tell you that if you mean harm to others, eventually harm has a way of coming back to you. And if you mean well to others, then things have a way of coming back to you. But when we talk about chanting the holy names of the Lord, they actually allow us to transcend that which is good and which is bad. That which is good in this world is often relative. What is good to one culture may very often be heinous to another culture. Some cultures, we find it very difficult to accept what other cultures do, but for them it's considered very good. Sometimes our view of what is good is determined by where we live, who we are with. Sometimes parents give us values, and when we go out in the world, we find, hey, the values of others are different. And we start judging that my good is better than your good, or my good as against yours is relative. But in devotional service, it's not the question of good or bad. What is important in devotional service is that we transcend good karma and bad karma. Because good activities bring back to this material world. so that you can enjoy it. But you and I know that all material enjoyment has a limit. And the limit is such that for a while, you're happy with it. But if you climb a mountain top, you have to come down. So up to the point when you climb up, you may be exerting. And then you'll be thinking, why am I climbing up? When you reach at the top, it's very nice. You want to stay for a while. But after a while, all things that go up have to come down. So you have to come down again. And you find that this is true in all our lives. Every junction of our lives, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam tells us, this will always happen. And once we understand that this happiness we are getting from material objects is actually temporary, because it touches us for a while and then it's replaced by something else, then you also realize that while we are running after material happiness, the material miseries that nobody runs after, they run after us. That's why in Bhagavatam it is stated very nicely, Tasyeva hetoho prayateta kovidam. It's in the first canto of the 5th chapter, 18th verse. Narada Muni is saying very nicely that as far as material happiness is concerned, that is automatically gained. It's gained through our activities, as is material miseries. So material miseries are just the other side of the same coin, which is why ultimately a devotee is really not so bothered about whether he has difficulties in his life or he has non-difficulties in his life. Because what is more important is how much remembrance we have of who we are, why we are here, and what's the purpose of our life. Once you have a goal, then things become a lot clearer.
And therefore the biggest change and the biggest challenge in our life is to understand what is the purpose of us being here.
A good example of a great devotee of the Lord who surpassed this good and bad is Sudama, actually. If you heard the last raga that was sung, you will realize that that raga in Sastras was chanted in the form of prayers by two personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam. The first personality appears in the 8th canto, and he is Gajendra, the elephant. When Gajendra was in difficulty, because for 1,000 years he was caught by the jaws of the crocodile, and even though he tried to escape the jaws of the crocodile, even though he got all his friends and his wives and all to help him, they could not help him. In the end, he had no one else to turn to but the source of all sources. So when Gajendra chants the prayers in Bhagavatam, he chanted it in this raga. So this raga is actually a very beautiful tune because it is coming from his heart. The second devotee who chants the same raga in Sastras is in the 10th canto, and that is Sudama. Sudama chanted this form of the raga of Hare Krishna. He chanted the names of the Lord all the way from where he was. And where was Sudama? Where was Sudama from? Anyone knows? How many of you are from Gujarat? Any Gujaratis? Oh, Mataji, how can I forget? Yes. You should know where Sudama is from. Where is he from? Okay, he walked to Dwarka because Dwarka was where Krishna was. So he was actually in Porbandar. He was in Porbandar. So today, if you go to Jamnagar, then Jamnagar is 2 hours from Porbandar. And then Porbandar, if you take a road, you will reach Dwarka in about 2.5 hours because the roads are very good now. Okay, they're much better. But in those days, if you started from Porbandar and you walked to Dwarka, then it will take you a very long time. Very long time. Because Dwarka is at the end of Gujarat. So Sudama was a very simple Brahmana. But his qualification was, in his simplicity, lay his wealth. And that is the message of Sudama's story. He was so simple that he was actually very wealthy. Real wealth, Bhagavatam tells us, the test of real wealth is that it should not complicate our lives. When money complicates our life, it is considered to be riches, but it is not considered to be opulence. There's a difference. Opulence in Bhagavatam means that whatever we have, we use in the service of the Lord. Therefore, we are peaceful. We maintain our families that we have to, and whatever that's balanced, we use it for the Lord's service. And because we use what comes to us in His service, we are not caught by that which comes to us. The moment we use that which comes to us for our service, meaning in the service of the mind, that we are running for this and that, for this, for that. And we don't use it for the Lord, who actually in the first place has given us everything. Then what happens is we become slaves to the mind. And even though we say, now I bought this house, this is enough, the time will come when we'll say, maybe it's not enough. I always say this example. When we were young, we all had our first toys, second toys. Then I'm sure we told our mothers, this is the last toy, no more, you know. We promised them this is it. But we always went back and got something else. Sudama was a very simple person. And his mood, Bhagavatam tells us, he had three beautiful qualities. One, in his heart, he did not hanker for anything. This is an important quality for peace. Whatever that came, he accepted as Krishna's mercy. Whatever that did not come, he said, well, if it didn't come to me, it was not meant to be. And he was very peaceful. So whatever came, he was peaceful. Whatever didn't come, he was very peaceful. So both ways he did not lose. The second quality he had was, he controlled his senses very well. In order for us to have the first quality, we need the second quality. Until and unless we control the mind and the mind doesn't control us, till that day, the mind will be the big boss. Even though we walk around saying that I am so and so. But we become dictated by the hankerings of the mind. So what happens is, when the mind becomes disturbed, we are very disturbed. And the more you try to calm a mind that you cannot control, the more you find it slips away from you. It becomes very difficult. And sometimes even the smallest things in the world can disturb us, isn't it? Sometimes we've grown up as adults and we say, oh, those are childish things that happen. But when it actually happens to us and our mind becomes disturbed, we find, oh my God, I can't even share this with anyone because it's so childish, but it's burning into me. And it's disturbing me day and night. And I can't do anything about it. So this is the second quality he had. And because he had these two qualities, Sudama possessed third, very nice quality. The reason why he could have these two first qualities was his foundation was he was always absorbed in the remembrance of the Lord. This is very important. And how was he absorbed? He always saw the hand of Krishna at every junction of his life. He didn't just see his life as being an accident. Whatever that came, he thought, what is the Lord trying to teach me? What can I take from this? So he was always on a takeaway mode, which is very important. We can wear two lenses. We can either wear the lens where, why is all this happening to me? And then we go into depression. Or we can say, why can't this happen to me? It can happen to anyone else. It can happen to me too. If we have that lens, then we accept that whatever is coming to us is not meant to put us down, but it's meant to forge us to become stronger in our faith in the Lord. When Santosh Prabhu was putting up this beautiful picture of Krishna, actually Krishna is everywhere, he's looking around me. It's so easy to chant in this house because everywhere I turn there's Krishna. Very nice. So when he was putting up this picture, and if you ask him today, how did you put it up? He'll probably tell you that he knocked the nail into the wall, and after he knocked the nail, before he put the picture up, he probably did something which we all will do, commonsensically. He tested the nail, right? Just test it a bit. Is it holding? And then he would frame the picture. And that is what Krishna does to all of us. Before we can frame him in our hearts, before we accept Krishna in our hearts, before we increase our faith in him, sometimes Krishna will put us through a certain test to see how strong we are, whether we really depend on him or whether our dependence on him is as shallow, you know, as the world we live in. So those who pass the test naturally, Krishna reciprocates. And those who can't, through time, they will grow. And that's what happened to all of us also. In the beginning, we may not have so much faith. But as time goes on, through life's experiences, we learn that many things are not within our hands. We try so many things in so many ways, especially when we're not well. We go to this doctor, we go to that doctor, we try the Ayurvedic. Ayurvedic tells us this is long term, but it looks like it's full term. And then after a while, we get impatient, then we tell, no, there's allopathy. Then we go to that doctor. Allopathy doctor generally will tell you immediately you cut. So immediately you go for operation. You know, I fell off my balcony 10 years ago. The balcony, yeah, I mean it. I was three floors up and I fell off my balcony. It's a long story, but I'll tell you about that another day. And as I fell, somehow by Krishna's mercy, I didn't hit my head. I fell and broke my fall on my right shoulder. So I broke, I tore my rotator cuff muscles. I broke my scapular bone here. I tore all these, the wrist bones were gone. The shreds were inside, you know, within. I broke four ribs. And the good news is when I fell, right, I still had my glasses on. So I could still see everywhere. And when I got up and I went upstairs, because I didn't want to be lying down there, everybody was passing me and nobody stopped to ask me, why are you lying down at the bottom of a block? And by the time my wife looked around, and I was thinking, why isn't she wondering where am I? And when she finally came to the balcony and said, what are you doing there? I said, it's not important. The point is I'm down, so I need to go up. So by the time I went up and I went to the hospital, they told me that they had to do an operation. So they did one operation. And after the operation, they told me they needed to do another one because the operation actually was done in such a way where it affected the nerves. And then after the nerve problem I had, then I had twitches. And then by the time 6 months went, I had gone through three operations. But the solution was still far away. The point is, in this material world, you can either accept such a thing that happens to you as being, this is very bad. Or, when I was in the hospital, I contacted my spiritual master and I asked him, Maharaj, why is this happening to me? And he said, look at it this way. You have lots of time now to study very nice Srimad Bhagavatam. You have a lot of time to study all the beautiful shlokas. So I asked him, what should I study while I'm down like this? He says, you study Gajendra's prayers. Because Gajendra was in so much trouble, isn't it? You are also in very much trouble. So you read and study his prayers. So the time that I spent, because by Maharaj mercy, I was absorbed in Bhagavatam. In the end, I did not lose anything. There is some pain here and there, but the devotional service has increased. So Sudama had that quality. These are the three qualities that define a devotee. And Sudama was very poor, meaning materially, but they were very peaceful. But one day his wife came to him and told him, Sudama, you are very peaceful, but the children, you know, they're very young, they need some food. Can we go and get something somewhere? He said, I have nothing. I'm Brahmana. I have nothing much with me. So he said, then she said, you know, you had a friend called Krishna, isn't it? You two were classmates. You were practically playing with each other, serving each other. So why don't you go and see him now? I heard he's the king of Dwarka. Very powerful personality. Surely if you go and see him, you know, you get even a fraction of what he gives you. It's enough for us. We don't want so much. And then Sudama thought, I've always been remembering Krishna. Krishna never left me. Even though it's been years since we've seen each other, he never left my heart. But it would be nice to go and see him and take darshan. So he thought, I'm not going to ask him for anything. Even though wife wants me to ask him, I don't have to ask him. Why? Because Krishna is the source of who I am. Therefore, he's in my heart. So if I need something, he will give it. And that which doesn't come to me, I take it that I don't need it. Sudama had this great quality of differentiating between needs and wants, which is very important to us also. That which you want may not be what you need. And very often you realize the things that trouble us are not the things we need. It's actually the things we want. It's the little bit more can I have, that's the one. The first plate you take of prasadam is fine. You're very peaceful. But if you're not peaceful with the first plate and you say, can I have some more? And suddenly there's no more prasadam in the house. Then what happens is you become very disturbed. Because that actually wasn't a need. It was just to add up or top up what you had. So actually a devotee lives in this world in such a way, if whatever comes to him, and it comes very peacefully, after his hard work, his duty, if it comes, that's fine. But if it doesn't come, then he takes it that it's not necessary. Sudama had this idea. So he thought, let me travel now to see Krishna. But his wife said, how can we go and see Krishna without anything? We must give him some gift, isn't it? Sudama said, is there anything in the house to give as a gift? And the wife said, unfortunately, we have nothing in the house. That's why I'm asking you to go and see him. So then Sudama said, so what to do now? So with great difficulty and humility, they approached their neighbor. And they asked for four palmfuls of chick rice. And Sudama had this very torn handkerchief that he had, put it inside, tied it up, and carried it away. So as Sudama walked and walked and walked, instead of thinking about this or that, he just concentrated on Krishna. So he kept chanting and chanting and chanting the names of the Lord. And it's during that time that he chanted these beautiful songs of Krishna in these beautiful ragas. By the time he reached the palace, he was awestruck because the palace had military encampments. It was Dwarka. And Jarasandh at that time, you know, was already trying to fight, and this was somewhere in between his 17 attempts to conquer the fort of Dwarka, right? Somewhere in between his 17 attempts. But when he walked through the military encampments, he was stopped and they asked him, "Who are you?" Because he looked very, very bad. And he said, "I've come to see Krishna and my name is Sudama." And immediately they let him through. And Sudama thought, "Does he know that I'm here? You know, does he know that I'm here?" So he walked right through. He walked past. Bhagavatam tells us there were 16,108 palaces in Dwarka, because there were 16,108 queens, and each queen, you know, she had her own palace. Bhagavatam tells us that when a lady gets married, generally she likes to have her own house. She can share it with mother-in-law for a while, but at the end of the day, if she has her own domain, she becomes peaceful. So Krishna was very expert at managing, you know, we manage one wife is already a challenge. Krishna managed 16,108 wives. He served them very nicely, so they were all peaceful. So what happened was, he went right through and he reached the end where Krishna's palace was. And Krishna was seated on a beautiful throne and there were devotees fanning him, and he was having a nice conversation with Rukmini. The moment he turned and he saw Sudama, Krishna just stood up, dropped everything, and he ran to embrace his friend. He didn't wait to see, oh, you know, he's very tired and he's very sweaty, you know, he's perspiring. Krishna would have smelled very wonderful. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Sudama cringed, you know, when he was embraced by Krishna, thinking that, "Krishna, I'm not worthy of your embrace." But Krishna said, "I will decide that." So Krishna embraces Sudama very nicely. Then he makes him sit down on the chair that he was seated. He calls for sandalwood and camphor. He applies sandalwood because it's hot, you know, so it's cooling to put sandalwood. Then he gives camphor for his feet because it's very painful after walking all that time. No MRTs, no trains, no anything, just pure walking. And finally, he gives him some nice prasad. He gives him some cool drinks. And then all the time, everyone is fanning him. And at that moment, right, Sudama thought, "Maybe I have left my body and gone back to some heaven, because it's amazing, this place." But Krishna started having a wonderful conversation, talking to him just like they met yesterday. They talked about the days when they were students in Sandipani Muni's ashram. They talked about the day when there was one storm in the night, when Sandipani Muni had asked them to go and collect firewood, right? And they got stuck in a storm. And in that storm, it was very bad. And Sudama had no source of shelter except Krishna. And Krishna gave him shelter. And in the morning, when Sandipani Muni saw his students coming back with the wood, he was so pleased because they followed his instructions and didn't run back, that he blessed them always to have the opulence of devotion service. Not the opulence of money, but the opulence of devotion service. So after speaking all this, Krishna then said that, "Now you've come from so far, I know you've got something for me." Then Sudama became very embarrassed. He was thinking, "My God, after seeing the palace, the standards, I can't possibly give these chick rice to him. There's no way I'm going to do it." But Krishna spied something in the armpit of Sudama, because that's where he kept it. You know, after walking, he was tired, he kept it under the armpit. And he quickly grabbed it. He opened the handkerchief and he said, "This is exactly what I don't get here." Imagine that. And Rukmini Mata became puzzled, because Rukmini Mata was thinking, Krishna gets everything in Dwarka, right? So how can the Lord say that he has not eaten chip rice? I find that astounding. And Krishna, as if he read the mind of Rukmini, said, "Well, this one is made and given to me with devotion. And this one has been given by Sudama, even though he possessed nothing in all the three worlds." Nothing in all the three worlds. So at that point of time, Sudama became very bewildered. How does Krishna know all this? Of course, Krishna is in the heart, he will know. But Sudama became bewildered. Then after Krishna took the morsel of chip rice, he said, "Let me taste it." And by then it had gone bad. But Krishna puts one morsel in his mouth. And at that point, the entire universe has become satisfied. Because Lord, on the Lord rests the entire satisfaction of the universe. So if Krishna took one morsel, everyone became satisfied. At that point in time, Krishna said, let me take another one. And Rukmini Mata said, Krishna, you have to stop now. Because if you take the next one, then what happens is, all the opulence, all the goddesses of fortune who are with Krishna, they will also go with Sudama. And Rukmini Mata did not want to leave Krishna. She wanted to be in the service of Krishna. That was how merciful Krishna was. How much he was prepared to give everything he had to Sudama. Even though, mind you, Sudama had not even opened his mouth to say, Krishna, I came here because I need something. He didn't say that. Nothing. So after he ate the chick rice, he sat down and then he put Sudama to bed. And when Sudama hit the bed felt like feather. The pillows were like feather, not the kind that we get now. And at that point he said, I must really be in heaven. I must have died unknown to me and I've gone back to heaven. Next morning he wakes up, Krishna speaks to him for a while, gives him breakfast, and Sudama then says, Krishna, I must leave now. I should leave. So Krishna looks at him and says, you're leaving? And he says, yes, I must leave now. So Krishna bids him farewell and Sudama walks back. Sudama never turns around to even think that, hey, I should ask Krishna, Krishna, can you upgrade me a little bit? Maybe get me some provisions, you know, on a regular basis, that would be fine. As he walked, he asked himself two questions. Why did I not ask him anything? And he answered the question. Because he said in his heart, Ananyas chintayantumam, ye janaha paryupasate, tesham nitya abhiyuktanam, yogakshemam mahamyaham. 922 of Bhagavad Gita. To those who are exclusively devoted to Krishna, Krishna says, I give them what they lack, and I preserve what they have. I give them what they lack, and I preserve what they have. Nobody can give us this guarantee anywhere in this world. This is a supreme guarantee. And believe me, I do a lot of guarantees as part of my work, but I've never seen this guarantee ever drafted anywhere in all the three worlds. Someone who says, what you have, you keep. And what you don't have, I give. That is amazing. So remembering that shloka and chanting the name of the Lord, Sudama thought, Krishna knows my heart. He's in my heart. If he thought I needed what I should have needed, he would have given it to me. But he knew that it was not necessary. And he knew that if he gave me all these things, I'll become proud. Ah, Krishna is giving me so many things. And he knew that if I took all this, I would forget Krishna. See the mood of Sudama. And he thought, I would rather remember Krishna and not have anything than to have everything in the world and not have Krishna. In that mood, he walked all the way back, happy and satisfied. And when he came to Porbandar, he turned the corner and he thought, I've come to the wrong house. Because there was a palace. He thought he came to the wrong street. He looked around. No, it is the same house. And it was a palace. He thought, who has built this house here? And then he saw the goddess of fortune walking towards him. And she was smiling and talking to him and calling his name. He said, I left all of them in Dwarka. Who has come here? And then he realized, wait a minute, this is my wife. She is really looking like the goddess of fortune. And wife comes to Sudama and says, I don't know what you did, my dear husband. I don't know what you had negotiated with Krishna. I don't know what you asked him. But all this has just come. And he looked at his children and he thought, my God, my children look like princes. And at the end of it, Sudama just smiled. And he thought to himself as he sat on a stone in Porbandar, and the stone where Sudama sat is still there. Right? It's still there. It's outside the Porbandar house where he stayed. So he sat on that stone and he reflected. And he thought, this is the greatness of the Lord. I cannot take credit for anything because he knew how fallen I am. He knew that I needed these things, therefore he has given it to me. So I will accept it on the basis that he has given. But Sudama never slept on the bed, always maintained his simple life. But he remembered the Lord so much because he realized that Krishna is really the well-wisher. It is not by asking that we get something from Krishna. It is by behaving that Krishna becomes attracted to us. That's why in this world today, Bhagavatam and behavior must be in line. If we go to temple, we are somebody. If we come out of temple, we are somebody else. Then Bhagavatam is absent. Krishna is also absent. Half the new generation get tired of us because they see that happening in the temple. Why should I go to temple? He's like that there and he's different here. What is really important for us to maintain this Bhagavatam culture is to understand that this is a lifestyle. Whoever we are in the four walls of our house, Sudama was who he was in the four walls of his hut. Hut did not even have four walls, I think. But whoever he was in the palace, the same person. And when he came back and he had a palace of his own, he was still the same person. No difference. No difference. This is mood of devotee. And to end this beautiful episode, there's an angle to Krishna also. Bhagavatam tells us that after Sudama left, Rukmini asked Krishna, Krishna, why didn't you ask your friend? Why did you come? He's obviously very poor. Didn't you want to give him something? Krishna said, don't you think I know what he needs? But I'm embarrassed. And Rukmini says, how can you, the Supreme Lord of the universe, be embarrassed? And he said, embarrassed because I realized that when Sudama gave me these chick rice, he gave it to me not from what he had, but from outside his domain. He had to go out, get it from someone out of great difficulty, and then give it to me. So Rukmini said, I don't follow you, my lord. What's the difficulty? And Krishna says, I can't do that for him. Why? Because there's nothing in this universe that is outside of me. Everything is within me. So Sudama has beaten me. I cannot do what he has done. I cannot reciprocate with the great austerity that he took to come here and give me something. Because everything belongs to me. There's nothing else I can do for him. So then what must I do? So Bhagavatam describes, just like a thunder cloud, right? No, just like a rain cloud with thunder and lightning comes over the horizon of a village in the darkness of the night, showers rain, and then goes away. It happens, you know, it happens in Singapore also sometimes, right? You have a huge shower last night around Mangalarti time, and then it just disappeared in the morning. In the same way, Krishna said, I have done what needs to be done. Because I cannot go there and give it to him, because I feel embarrassed that I cannot match his standard of sincerity. This is the greatness of Krishna, and this is the greatness of his devotee. The good Lord thinks he's never worthy of his devotee, and the good devotee thinks I'm never worthy of my Lord. And in that feeling, there is this great feeling of separation, that I'm not good enough. And therefore, I must continuously increase my remembrance of the Lord. And in that separation comes intense remembrance. This is the beauty of our culture. So let's remember Sudama. Let's keep him in our heart. Let's always remember when some things don't come to us despite all our attempts. Let us not be discouraged. After all, without that, we are still surviving. We are still breathing. We won't die. What will die in us is if we don't connect to Krishna. And what's the best way to connect to Krishna? Just by chanting. That's why we're very grateful to Prabhu, grateful to Mataji, grateful to the family for having us over. This is such a mandir. It has such a nice vibration. Let's remember Sudama. So next time if you go to Gujarat, go to Porbandar. See this great, great devotee. A devotee who asked for nothing, but who received everything. That is why, as devotees, our motto should be, we have nothing, but we also don't lack anything. This is the principle of bhakti. What do we lack? There is nothing that we don't lack. But if we don't have bhakti, then we are really bankrupt. Then we are spiritually bankrupt. So shall we chant the holy names of the Lord? But now we have to be louder than he or she is. He. What's his name? Ame. Ame? Very nice. You know, the beauty of children is that they really don't care who they are with and who's around them. But the thing about adults you find is, I always tell adults, when we have children and you find them distracted, the challenge is we should not become distracted. We become distracted very often. But when there is distraction, it is the perfect opportunity to increase our remembrance. It is. It always is. Give you an example. When we started all these programs, we were at this temple. If you go to Serangoon Road, there's a last temple at the end with two huge deities of Hanuman and Garuda. You've seen that temple? It's a Ram temple right at the end of Serangoon Road. We used to be there. And we used to be at the mercy of the temple. Every morning we go there on Sundays for Bhagavatam. But suddenly the priest would tell us, oh, today we have some prayers, so you have to leave. So 50 of us would have to go somewhere else. We didn't know where to go. But gradually, they were all right. And one day we sat down and we were going to start Bhagavatam when the priest told us, oh, I'm sorry to inform you, but somebody's going to get married in 10 minutes' time. Can you imagine? They obviously knew it was a marriage booked a long time ago, but just conveniently didn't tell us. So, you know, in South Indian marriages, you have this Nadaswaram. It's probably the loudest instrument ever made, isn't it? Once it starts, right, it's meant to kill off all conversations, all possibilities of parties hearing each other. So the Nadaswarams were going on this side, and we told them we'd like to continue if you don't mind. So they said, okay, you take this side. So we had a small sound system, smaller than this one, and we had the speaker speaking. And we all huddled around him. And I'm telling you one thing, I have never concentrated on a Bhagavatam class more better than I did that day, with the wedding blaring full scale. The point is, we live in a world of distractions. But it is no excuse for us not to be able to focus the mind on the Supreme Lord. That's what we should do. So let's chant Krishna's names.
Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Nanda Kumara Madana Gopala Madana Gopala Mohana Rupa Mohana Rupa Nanda Kumara Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara Nanda Kumara Madana Gopala Madana Gopala Mohana Rupa Mohana Rupa Nanda Kumara Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara Nanda Kumara Madana Gopala Madana Gopala Mohana Rupa Mohana Rupa Nanda Kumara Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
We're just under the legal limit. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you very much, Prabhu, for having us. Thank you. Thank you very much for having us. You're right. But we want to have more programs, you know, at your place, so let's make sure we leave everyone happy. But thank you for your time. If there are questions, if there are comments, there are violent objections, I'm always happy to take them. But we welcome you for such programs whenever you can come. Just to be able to come together at the end of the week and hear something which is transcendental and spiritual is very enlivening. And you realize that throughout the entire program, because we discuss topics which are eternal by nature and which are blissful by nature, so we are not tired, we are not hankering, we are not envious, and most important, we are all very peaceful. This should be the test of spiritual life, not the afterlife. If you tell someone in the afterworld you become peaceful, they'll tell you, what about now? But if you tell them that there is a formula to become peaceful now, then they sit up and hear. This is the beauty of the Gita and the Bhagavatam. It actually has the formula. We just have to work on it. And since we struggle for everything else in this world, why don't we struggle a little bit for Krishna? What harm is there? What loss is there? There is no loss. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the sound system.
Actually, we're just warming up. This is all right. Last devotees here, I think they all of you feel that way.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Rama
Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Rama,
Rama, Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Thank you.
Jai Vrindavan Guru Namaki. Jai Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ji. And I go to heaven. Thank you so much. Yeah, we did. We have like programs. We have like programs at the center. On weekends. It's exactly like this. Doesn't really matter. When you hear and when you understand, then even someone as young as 10 or 11 can, it's all. My mom was actually against. She thought I was too sweet. She thought I would leave like everything. Yeah,
because you were speaking.
Yeah, I mean, anyway.
What do you do?
Let you go. I was eating at Goku's, then I saw him. He said Bhagavad Gita classes. So I went for the first one, and that was in. Once I went for the first and second,
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually also working, but just that it's
understanding. Yeah. So the mission of my work sponsor. Yeah, we met each other in